Blog Talk Radio.
It's Blog Talk Radio. It is the Pinko the Bear Show. Unofficial theme song, Michael Fronte and Spearhead. It is the Pinko the Bear Show. You are up late with Pinko the Bear. I appreciate you. Though I understand most people listen to this show in a time-shifted podcast kind of way, and that's okay. Of course, you can get it over at, on my own Facebook page, also the Pinko the Bear Show page on Facebook, and, of course, the TCPN, that stands for the Commons Project Network. I just want to pimp this just a little bit, even though maybe I shouldn't use the word pimp because I'm not a real fan of pimps. But I want to talk about it for a second. So it's a project that some of my friends, my cyberspace friends, all folks who have shows and or blogs, writers, thinkers, entertainers, folks from a lefty leftist perspective. I think we might have one Democrat that thinks we need to just vote more. But at any rate, the CommonsProjectNetwork.com, really, it's supposed to be what we hope it will be, is an aggregator for all things smart and lefty and thinking, and you know, a place to come to get the actual news of the world and what's going on, and commentary on it, opinion, of course, but based in fact. We got AWOP Radio with Kim G, publisher. We have the Pinko the Bear Show, Air, Amarta Fio, Ruth Ann. We got Worldwide Hippies. Gotta love me some Worldwide Hippies. I'm bald. I'm bald by choice. I have no long hair, but I love me some hippies. With Joe McAvoy and Woody 99er Conopac. Roundtree 7, David Williams, doesn't have a show, but he's a writer and a thinker, and he's taking care of our site. And of course, Here Be Monsters, that's where you're hearing the Pinko the Bear Show tonight. Why? Because, well, I canceled my show about a year ago. I was doing 5 nights, 2 hours a night, and I canceled it for about a year when other stuff got in the way, and Gwen has been so kind as to let me use her account at Here Be Monsters to do Up Late with Pinko the Bear. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. Now we're adding other lefty shows, thinker shows, truth-telling shows. And we've got the Authority Smashing Hour with Derek Johnson, also known as Xenu, your anarchist report for the week. Actually, he does more than one show a week, but check out the Authority Smashing Hours. Also, we added Lee Camp, his content, from LeeCamp.net, comedian, kind of heir apparent to George Carlin, if you ask me. Very clever, very funny, very sarcastic. love him. A little edgy. And then we've got Dennis Traynor Jr. We're posting his stuff up here with his permission, though I don't know if he's going to have any original content for this network. But we'll at least be posting his stuff as well. All good stuff. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the Commons Project Network, and share it with your friends. Find it online and share it with your friends. There's a lot of different voices. We're all reading from the same book, though perhaps we're not all on the same page. I, for one, am kind of a pinko commie anarchist type, left libertarian. You're going to hear my opinion on the facts about stuff. Largely colored by or influenced by the likes of Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, Eugene Debs, Rosa Luxemburg. I don't know. I guess we could go back to Bakunin and Proudhon, but there's other people more current and more relevant, and the language from Marx and some of these other old dead guys is a little difficult to wade through, so sometimes I'd just rather go with David Graeber or, Chris Hedges or something. Anyway, so welcome to the show. It's do-it-yourself radio, so self-produced, and I just kind of wing it. But I do have some things planned. I do have a new moment of clarity by Lee Camp on the Zimmerman trial. I've got a little piece by Woody Harrelson. We're going to talk about Trayvon Martin, not so in a different way, maybe, than you might expect. We're not going to talk about him the way that the corporate media talks about the situation. And what else do I have? Oh, some nuggets from Jeff Mincy, Eric Nelson Shook, And I don't know. Oh, Daniel Ellsberg, the original whistleblower on Edward Snowden and the whole thing. So anyway, that's what I got planned for the night. And maybe a song or two. Yeah, we're gonna play a song or two as well. Also, I'd like to take calls. It's a 2-hour show, so you know, I get to the first hour, I'm like, oh, stretch, stretch, stretch for the second hour. So I'd like to take calls as well. Whatever's on your mind, politically or economically or whatever, just give a ring. What is the number? Let me look at that number. Oh, here it is, 213-816-0357. 213-816-0357. Want to give a shout out to the folks in the chat room. Oh, look at that. Johnny Chaos has joined us. Johnny, suspected gang member, Chaos. Good to see you, man. All right, so my mic is turned down way to compare to the music. Yeah, here's the deal. I can't hear myself because my headphones, something's going on, and I can't hear myself. So I will turn the microphone up a little bit like that, and then maybe we'll see where we're at. But it's weird to do the show without the headphones because you can't hear yourself. All right. So what else we got? Oh, and Stephanie, thanks for dropping by. And by the way, feel free to share the you got here through Facebook, I'm sure. So feel free to share that link because sharing is caring, and the Vampire Nation needs to feed. And you know, you're up late, so that's the way it is. I'd appreciate that help. All right, so let me look around and see how we want to start tonight's show. How do we want to start? I love this. Now, I mentioned Eric, and no, he's not calling in tonight. I don't even know if he's listening. He called in a few weeks ago, which was cool, but he wrote a little something the other night that I just want to share. See, it's not all original content here, man. It's other people's stuff. Other people's stuff. That I relate to, that I think needs to be heard, and one of them is a little something called "Prepare for War," "Prepare for War" by Eric Nelson Shook, if that's your real name. "Prepare for War," sure, that sounds like the end of the world I'm crying out about, but I don't see any other result given the direction the world is taking, both in the United States and also across the globe in numerous countries. It's only bound to hit our shores in such a way that many of us are run under a tread, like so many of the past have been surprised to discover when their government not only failed to protect them, but turned out against them. I honestly feel like this is a strong likelihood. The Nazi cuckoos have a strong handhold after decades of reacting to the freedoms gained in the 1960s. Amen, brother. And the irony in this is that most of those new freedoms were never perfected in the first place before their short lives were challenged. And most of them have been rendered null and void to such a degree nobody can honestly admit that we remain a constitutional democracy in anything but name. That's a good point, actually. You know, we got a lot of gains in the 60s, and then everybody went to sleep. And the billionaires and the killionaires of the world went to work silently, you know, through their think tanks and their buying up the media, silencing dissident voices, suppressing wages, doing all that stuff, and taking away the freedoms that we were gaining or had gained in the 60s or in the follow-up of the 60s. But I digress. But Eric says, so following the ideal of preemption, I can only predict that there are those out there who are tooling up for this conflict. I mean, the government certainly seems afraid of the people, even though the people are supposed to be the government. But nobody can seriously believe anymore, either given the rate of abuses of authority and the corporate control of every capital and nearly every lawmaker. I'd say all of them. And anyone aware of the real news, such as the numbers of bloody protests taking place across Europe, which has a bigger economy than the United States, and therefore its collapse, Europe's collapse, would be a certain tumult for every last soul on the globe, has probably already embraced this sense of future, this sense of the future, which is war. For certain, war and more war is on the horizon, folks, for more reasons than anyone can really count. And yet, of course, we hear the economy has recovered. Woo-hoo! Because, you see, giving big banks and large businesses 0% loans so they can loan that money back to the government at several bond points higher would naturally make things look all better, right? And, of course, we're also counting on the college students forced to take out loans for their education at 6.8% interest to pay back when they owe, since there are no jobs out there in this recovery. Not. And I mean, 7%. Who pays that much for the use of money anymore? 7%. Oh, wait. That's right. Poor people. Poor people pay outrageous sums just for a little extra cash on their payday loans because we've enacted tremendous reforms limiting usury to something like, what, 49% maximum? Is that what it is these days? Basically, no matter which way we look at it, it's all for shit, to put it bluntly. And yet, none of us want to pick up a gun or even a truck tire rod or a brick, and for good reason. We've never had to. So why start now, huh? Well, don't worry. Because there's always going to be somebody willing to stand up and speak for you. History has always produced leaders who love the limelight and are willing to speak their minds in harmony with your own. In today's world, hey, we've already got somebody doing exactly this. Her name is Oprah. Oprah? Uma. Uma? Oprah. And you get your gifts under the seat as well. And they're not even anti-environmentalist bombs or IEDs. So don't wet your pants when the fat lady sings, because you might get your gift wet. And nobody likes to arrive at the ticket counter with a running ink or come home with a jewelry box smelling of urine. Folks, this isn't the hangover part rehab, although that would be a solid metaphor for the way in which we keep repeating this whole manifest destiny thing where the Lord tells us we're the chosen people. So we should just police the world, and by the way, all your bases are belong to us. So what if your relief at electing a new leader turns into a denial that he's a Wall Street pawn, huh? What if your relief at electing a new leader turns into a denial that he's a warmonger and appoints Monsanto executives to head the FDA? Not to mention the whole drone thing where Americans were exploded into small bits. Now, honestly, I think the whole leader thing has been worn out and doesn't work for us. Maybe the only real solution is for each of us to activate and to stand with each other while we begin to tear down some of these walls surrounding us, huh? Maybe we have to risk being tracked and monitored, because it's better to sit in a jail cell than it is to have a tank running through your garden and over your neighborhood kids. Again, don't mention the drones. But there's only one way we can amass enough collective force by which to do this, and that's by joining together. Joining together against issues or for issues and putting our differences aside. I'm an anarcho-communist. I'm a left libertarian. I'm a regular communist. I'm a socialist. I'm a state socialist. I have a hard time putting aside my differences with anarcho-capitalists, but hey, I can try. But if we do that, if we put away our differences and unite, then the machinery of the government-corporate alliance presents the whack-a-mole problem. Clearly, I would never advocate violence. What scares me most about this war, I'm predicting, is that I believe it will start here at home, arising from among the frustration of our fellow Americans. After all, we were just recently entitled, right? And now, we've been given the shaft. I just don't see that going well for those in power. And if you think Greece rebelled against austerity, just wait. Watch it happen when the government can't lie about the economic recovery and placate the public anymore. And it's really just a matter of time. So the thing to be really watching are the wood piles, folks. The wood piles, the future bubbles. Like a recoil from the European collapse. But even then, we need a match that lights that wood pile, like the most recent Trayvon event at that time. And it's only bound to happen. Damn. So that's Eric. And I got to say, I pretty much agree with that. People are hypnotized and lobotomized and propagandized and mesmerized and all that good stuff. And they just, until things get worse and worse, and they will get worse and worse. And I'm not trying to be a doom and gloomer. I'm just trying to lay it out there what's really happening. And when things get worse and worse, there's going to be an event, a current day Trayvon. A current day, something, a Waco, whatever. You never can tell what the spark is going to be. And this shit is going to go up in flames. And those in power are going to try to hold on to power. And those that are understanding what's going on and pissed off enough to get out into the streets and demand actual change, well, some of them are going to get hurt. It's happening all over the world right now. I have no doubt it's going to happen here. But anyway, that's a status update or a rambling from Eric. And I liked it so much that I thought I'd have to share it here with you on the Pink of the Bear show. All right, so 213-816-0357. If you have a thought about that. If you have a thought about something else, give a call. And I don't know, what should we do? We need to play. Should I play something? Or is it too early? I don't know. I think it's too early. Should we go to something else? We're going to go to something else. Something a little lighter, perhaps. Something a little more fun. Something a little more, I don't know. I'm looking for this clip that I uploaded. And I don't see it, which is, typical with Blog Talk Radio. Shit happens, and then sometimes it doesn't happen. So I actually can't find it. So I'm stretching, trying not to bore you. But I can't. Oh, there it is. I mislabeled it. I don't watch the news a lot. I don't watch the corporate TV, the TV machine. I'm just really not interested in what any of these people on the corporate TV machine have to say about any subject, including plane crashes. But this caught my eye. I found this. It was passed around on Facebook in the last couple of days. And this comes out of Fox 11, San Francisco. It's really like the big station. They have like 25 in the field reporters. The Bay Area is a really big place, and they have really decent reporting about local events, and I like it. I watch it. It's not Fox Network. It's the Fox affiliate, right? And there's no politics on it, but yeah, here's the bubble-headed bleach blonde talking about the plane crash with a gleam in her eye. Anyway, I love this. Just listen to this and see what you think here. It's the Pink of the Bear show.
We have new information now also on the plane crash. KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ao. And the NTSB has confirmed these are the names of the pilots on board Flight 214 when it crashed. We are working to determine exactly what roles each of them played during the landing on Saturday. Names of pilots involved in the Asiana Airlines crash. These names were not accurate, despite an NTSB official in Washington confirming them late this morning. We apologize for this error.
We apologize for being totally fucking clueless when we've been pranked. Did you hear those names? Sum Ting Wong? Really? Ho Li Fook? F-U-K? They said Fook, not fuck, so I just want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. Listen to this.
We have new information now also on the plane crash. KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Li Fook, and
Holy
Bang
fuck.
Ding Ao. And the NTSB has confirmed these are the names of the pilots on board Flight 214 when it crashed. We are working to determine exactly what roles each of them played during the landing.
Shut up. And the Pink of the Bear Show has determined that you are bubble-headed bleach blondes, that you read off of monitors, that you can't think extra. I can't even say that word. Extemporaneously. Thank you, Lord, for letting me speak in tongues. That you can't think off the top of your head. And you just read whatever crap is put in front of you. Something wrong. Yeah, he was the pilot. Seriously. So, I mean, yeah, it's funny, right? But this is the level of reporting in this country. And this is San Francisco. I don't know, what is it, the fourth largest market? I know it's a big one, right? It's got to be in the top 10. And this is the number one station there. And they can't figure this out. A little fact checking, perhaps. Little thinking, critical thinking before you open your mouth, says the guy who's drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. But I'm not a powerhouse. I'm just on the internet. And I like me some Pabst. You know what? If it's good enough for Burning Man, it's good enough for the Pink of the Bear Show. That's all I got to say. Holy fuck. Something wrong. We too low. Seriously? I mean, so they will read and say anything, and they'll do that. They'll read and say anything, and this is just a silly example, but the same people, the same types of people working for the same types of corporations, consistently, day after day, hour after hour, in the 24-hour news cycle, read and say anything that's put in front of them. These people are not to be listened to. They're not to be trusted. They have nothing of value to tell you. Okay, maybe you can watch the Weather Channel, right? Maybe watch the Weather Channel if you're thinking about having some plans for outside. Unless, of course, you live in Hawaii, then you don't need the Weather Channel because the weather's always the same. But you might want to look at the pretty girl who used to be Miss Pearl City or Miss Honolulu or Miss Waianae. But that's a different thing. Anyway, this country is a little fucked up. And by the way, F-bombs will drop because F-bombs don't kill people. Real bombs kill people. I need to take a break. Got this other stuff. We're going to talk about Trayvon in a couple of different ways. The trial, the coverage, and then maybe a little something that's more important than either one of those things. And I don't know, it's just my own take on it. But yeah, things are fucked up. So let's all try to make them a little bit better. It's Pink of the Bear Show. I'll be back in like 4.5 minutes or something like that. Okay? Don't go away. I love you. I love you all.
There's never been a time. There's never been a time. There's never been a time as fucked up as this. As fucked up as this. locked up. I can't unfuck it up. You probably can't unfuck it up. And if we're counting on them to unfuck it up, then we're all fucked. Thing, just turn to the person next to you and ask them nicely, did you fuck it up? Go on, ask them. How about you? Did you fuck it up? Now sit back and look at them and say, because you look like someone who could have fucked it up. Now it's fucked up. Ourselves up off the floor and create a tone of camaraderie and ask, could you help unfuck it up? And then say, are you really so fucking busy you can't take one fucking minute to help unfuck it up? Then lose the righteous asshole attitude and take a breath and say, because I'm willing to pick one thing to help unfuck it up, won't you join me? Oh, that's better. Is this still better? Yeah, I'm feeling the love. The problem is that you just can't help feeling bitter. That is fucked up to begin with. You just go round and round like this. Okay, back with me now. I didn't fuck it up. Let it out. Come on. You know you feel it. You probably didn't fuck it up. You don't have to believe it. Just go with it for now. But that's right, shift the blame, they fucked it up. Now it's fucked up. Right. Okay. Yeah, you're clapping, but the problem is deep down inside, you're feeling depressed and hopeless, right?
Right.
We're just gonna change the world. What the hell happened? Okay, I guess. We're gonna come together for this one. I need your help. We're going to fill this room up with love and inspiration. And
yeah.
It won't last past the time you leave here tonight, but everybody on this side, let's all unfuck it up.
Yeah.
Say real loud and proud, let's all unfuck it up. Now you got to keep going without me when I leave you. Here we go. Let's all unfuck it up. Doesn't that feel good? Keep it rolling. Now over here. We have a special part. It's a little repetitive. It's fucked to fuck. 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 Can you do that? To fuck. It's fucked. Okay, middle, ready? I wanna be an unfucker. I wanna be an unfucker. That's right. It's fucked to fuck to fuck. It's fucked to fuck. Oh, yeah, really loud.
Yeah,
one more time with all your heart now. That's really good.
Yeah. Katie Goodman. Excuse me, iTunes needs your attention. Yeah, do-it-yourself radio. Sometimes that stuff happens. Hi, it is the Pinko the Bear Show. Welcome to it. 2 hours of me rambling and playing clips and, I don't know, drinking PBR. Smoke them if you got them. Have a drink with me. It's cool. It's the internet, man. We're not regulated here all that much. No, the time might come. So I want to talk about Trayvon and Zimmerman. I have been avoiding this subject for a very long time, much like I totally avoided Casey Anthony and I avoided OJ because, like, okay, the trial starts. I'm not going to be glued to it. I don't like these people on CNN talking about it all the time, and then all the people that I know are talking about it, and the glove fit, you must quit, and all. Oh God, it was like really, it was a soap opera, right? The OJ thing. I couldn't stand it. I was like, no, I'll wait to the verdict. I'll wait, and then I'll hear the verdict, guilty or not guilty. Then I will know that many people will be happy and many people will be upset, and then people will talk about it some more. They'll talk and talk and talk. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? I mean, it's just like any other, I don't know. Yeah, these events are tragedy. Murders are horrible. Oakland police murder people, black teenagers, regularly with impunity. And a tip of the hat to Al Osorio for working so hard in the Bay Area for justice, for fill in the blank. At any rate, so I have avoided it because I just don't get all up. I mean, I am upset, but venting on Facebook and posting stuff and getting all into the details of the trial and throwing my opinion out there on the trial, a trial that I'm not even at, right? Not even, I wasn't there. I don't know the rules. I kind of know the law, like I think I do, but I don't really because I'm not a lawyer. And I didn't want to waste any time and energy on that. I wanted to do other stuff, like real life stuff. But I want to talk about it a little bit tonight because, again, a lot of people are happy about it and a lot of people are really pissed off. I personally fall in the camp of, yeah, I'm a little pissed off, but it was to be expected. We live in a racist country. We have institutionalized racism. People are just brought up to be racist and ignorant, and the privilege, the white privilege. Or if you're not white, maybe you're black and you just happen to have a lot of money and now you're privileged, Bill Cosby. So it was all very predictable to me and I wasn't sucked into it. I mean, I could have been watching The Guiding Light. It was all very predictable to me. There was nothing to learn. And I went to the back when he was first murdered. We had a rally here in town, like a million hoodies for Trayvon, and we all wore hoodies and went out on the streets, and I think we had like 35 people, but I live in a small town, Reno. And but you know, we got 35 people out in front of the federal courthouse, and it was cool, and we got to meet other allies and socially conscious people, and that's what I think a lot of these rallies are about, is making the contacts. It's not just about going out and feeling good because you're wearing an I Am Trayvon, you know, t-shirt and a hoodie, and you show up every once in a while, and you feel good about it. Yeah, the feeling good is cool, but it's networking with your allies. Maybe it's the the LGBT community, or maybe it's the the union workers, or maybe it's Hispanic community that wants immigration reform. But you meet these people and then you network with them and you show up and you support them and then they support you, and it's cool because it starts small. So, but anyway, I have to apologize to my Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective comrades. I did not attend the Trayvon March, whatever you want to call it. I didn't attend the action tonight. I was involved in, I was involved in other stuff. I was pulling a refrigerator out of my RV and had a very experienced friend who drove like 25 miles to get here and help me, and so I was doing that, and I didn't go to the march. I would have liked to, but I didn't. But I did it the first time, right? That's okay. You do what you can. You know, you chip in where you fit in, right? At any rate, so I didn't go, and I felt a little bad. But I want to play a couple clips. Let's there's this young lady, young white, early 20 something. And she put out a YouTube video that I don't know if it's gone viral, but at least in my circles with mostly lefty anarchist pinko commie socially conscious, you know, folks on my friends list. This was going around and I didn't want to watch it. But my friend Gwen from Here Be Monsters insisted that I do, and she said I'd appreciate it, and I do, and I don't know if you will or not, but the title of it is I Am Not Trayvon Martin. And I didn't really like the title because I am Spartacus. We are all Spartacus. We are all Trayvon Martin. We are all victims of this just racist, horrible capitalist system, this hierarchy of hell. But the title is I Am Not Trayvon Martin, but just get past the title and listen to some of these other things she says and think about it. And hell, call me, 213-816-0357. It's the Pinko the Bear Show. Come on, little girl, where are you? I don't hear you.
I am not Trayvon Martin. I am not Troy Davis. And to the middle-class, white, socially concerned activist who wears a shirt emblazoned with those slogans, you are wrong. I know you wear that shirt to stand in solidarity with Trayvon, Troy, and other victims of injustice. The purpose of those shirts is to humanize these victims of our society by likening them to the middle-class white activist wearing it. And once we've humanized the victims, this proves to us the arbitrariness of their deaths and thereby the injustice at play. But the fact of the matter is that these men's deaths are anything but arbitrary. The fact that the real Troy Davis and Trayvon Martin and countless other victims of oppression are buried under 6 feet of cold dirt while we middle-class white activists are alive, marching, and wearing their names is an indication that our societal system is working exactly as it's intended. A more accurate t-shirt to display on my white body would be, I am George Zimmerman. Zimmerman and I were indoctrinated in the same American discourse where we learned that the other, particularly black men like Trayvon and Troy, were less human and were to be feared. Society taught me that as a little white girl, I must preserve my purity and goodness, and that the presence of young single males threatens that. Society taught me that being in the presence of a black man compounds that threat exponentially. I have been taught that male, black bodies are an immediate threat to my safety and the well-being of society as a whole. And Zimmerman was taught the same damn thing. We're all taught it. I look at George Zimmerman and think, there but for the grace of God go I. Had it not been for a decent education, intense critical thinking, and some truly excellent parenting, I would never have questioned the societal norms that Zimmerman and I were both taught, and I would have ended up feeling his attack on Trayvon was justified, just as he did, and the state of Florida does. If we are to effect real change in the wake of Trayvon's murder, we have to realize this. Realizing that you more closely resemble a homicidal, oppressive force than a helpless victim is a really uncomfortable thing to do. I know. But wanting to identify with the victim is weak and immature when it is not an accurate representation of reality. Real change is effected when we own up to our actions, our privilege, and our complicity with the system that murdered Trayvon and countless others. Us privileged activists have to realize just how easy it is to be Zimmerman and work to change this. Subvert stereotypes. Make it harder for others to buy into the bullshit that we're fed our whole lives about race, class, gender, and other people by identifying and critiquing these messed up norms. Force adults to confront these norms and raise children without indoctrinating them with the same old bullshit. Use your privilege to actively dismantle this messed up system. Listen to marginalized people like Trayvon's family and Troy's family and ensure them access to the discourse. Listen to them. Stand in solidarity with them. But do not, I repeat, do not claim to be them.
Yeah, don't tell me what I can and can't do. Now, I have mixed feelings about what she's saying. I think she's taking it too literally when you say, I am Trayvon Martin, or I am Troy Davis, or I am Spartacus. No, we're not. We're not. Everybody is, you know, themselves, individual. But I think it's a little too literal, and she's... So, you know, make up your own mind there. But she's exactly right about societal norms and how it teaches us to be a certain way. I mean, it's propaganda. It's societal norms put on you by institutions. And she's actually, you know, she's absolutely right. Privileged activists, people who have the time, the income, you know, they can actually do stuff, show up to rallies, organize in their communities, organize unions, do what, you know, immigration reform, whatever it is. Privileged activists will never know exactly how Medgar Evers, my God, I've only had two PBRs. There's no way this is from beer. I'm just tired. But there's no way that we can know what Medgar Evers. Oh, my God, I should just quit. I'm going to quit. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Please try the veal. We can't know exactly what it's like. I don't know what it's like to be black. I was married to a black girl, lived with a different one. But I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be poor and Hispanic. And as much as my life economically can suck at times in these last 10 years, I've been, you know, pretty privileged. Hell, I got an internet connection and a microphone and a laptop, and I'm going to Burning Man. I mean, yeah, okay, I'm pretty privileged. I'll never know. But I do know what injustice is. And it doesn't just happen to people of color. It happens to poor people. Generally, it happens to the working class. Generally, it happens to poor people. And I have no idea what it really, really feels like, you know, to lose a son shot down by the pigs in Oakland or Chicago, or you know, name your city, or shot down by a wannabe cop in Florida. But I think it's okay to say I am Trayvon Martin. I think it's okay to say I am Spartacus, because you identify with the injustice. But I think the point she really made is, yeah, you have to understand that there but for the grace of dog go you and I. We could have been Zimmerman. Hell, we could have been Sean Hannity. We could have been Barack Obama. We could have been, you know, some asshole in some think tank that works for the Koch brothers. Right? We could have been Dianne Feinstein. Hillary Clinton. We could have been anything. But somehow, some way, we broke through that, and we understand that the society is a little fucked up, and we need to unfuck it. Anyway, so I enjoyed that little clip. I listened to it several times to make sure I understood what she was saying. And she's a white young girl of privilege, and I'm glad to have her as an ally, and I'm glad she's doing what she's doing. But you know what? I still might want to wear a hoodie and an eye tray on. Sure, I'm just saying. All right, so let's take a different opinion on this thing. Lee Camp, by the way, who has joined the CommonsProjectNetwork.com, as I mentioned earlier. Lee, love him. If you don't know him, you should. I mean, he's just, like, smart and funny and sarcastic, and I dig him. And he's got a little something to say about the Zimmerman trial, and it's up at LeeCamp.net, but right now it's on the Pinko the Bear Show. Stick around for this. Here we go.
Plans at all. Evil man's always transcending. Fight her like sheep, swallow everything. Always simpletons or pretending.
This is your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. The Zimmerman trial was not about George Zimmerman or Trayvon Martin, and that's been the problem since the beginning. We don't actually know what happened that night. All we truly know is that Zimmerman ran out of his house wielding a gun like a fucking G.I. Joe. If G.I. Joe had the physique of Jack Black and less intelligence than a belly button lint, But then the action figures wouldn't sell very well. But I admit, watching Trayvon Martin's murderer walk away feels like this country turning our back on the racism that still permeates our society. But we shouldn't look at it that way. We should believe the jury knew what they were doing in this case, and then, whether there's a sexy courtroom saga to follow or not, whether Nancy Grace is salivating over the play-by-play screaming in the sedated faces of a grieving family or not, we should confront our country's problems. We shouldn't need a goddamn dead teenager to say to ourselves, some shit is fucked up. We should be capable of looking at the numbers of the prison industrial complex and understand it's a racist system. We should be able to look the job market in the eyes and see the racism, even if there's no missing white girl involved. There was a study from the National Bureau of Economic Research where they sent out 5,000 resumes. The only differences were the names of the fake applicants. Some had normally white-sounding names like Chad Baker or Greg Smith or Thomas Small Penis, and others had black-sounding names like Lakeisha Thomas or Cedric the Entertainer. I feel like they did a better job picking names than I did, but you get the point. And the researchers found that the applicants with the black names were a full 50% less likely to get called in for an interview. That's when you see what a biased society we live in. Simply by your name sounding black, you're 50% less likely to even get your foot in the door. Their name alone is fucking them. Kind of like how I can't get a job working at a Korean restaurant simply because my name sounds like a gay Korean sex act. It's when you see that in New York City, black and Latino men account for only 4.7% of the population, and yet were 41.6% of unwarranted stop-and-frisk searches in 2011.
Yep.
And in 33 precincts, that number jumps up to 90%, meaning the stop-and-frisk program should be called the Harass Colored People Program. We should be protesting the societal discrimination that ultimately ends in people like Zimmerman thinking it's okay to Dukes and Hazzard their way across a lawn with a gun chasing a kid holding a deadly bag of Skittles. We don't really know what happened that night, but we should know and talk about what is happening every other night. Or perhaps we could just take all the discrimination numbers like the ones I've mentioned and put them in a car trunk with a missing white girl.
Yes.
And then the news media might cover it. That's been your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. The links to the articles where I got my numbers are in the description. Also, the music here at the end is I Didn't Fuck It Up by Katie Goodman. You're going to like this song. I'm playing it with her permission. And if you want to hear the full song, go over to the new Clarity Collective Tumblr page where we have smart, conscious, aware art of all types. You can find that link to the Tumblr page in the description as well. Keep fighting.
Keep fighting.
As fucked up as this. I didn't fuck it up.
Did you? So, it was cool that when I listened to Lee's new Moment of Clarity, that he used Katie Goodman's song, because I used to use that on my show when I was doing 5 nights a week, 2 hours a night. And now, and I took a year off and doing just 2 hours a night. But I thought that was cool, so that's why I played the whole Katie Goodman song earlier tonight. All right, if you're just joining us, and I know one person is, because I saw you in the chat room. Hi. It is the Pinko the Bear Show, midnight Pacific terrific time, Wednesday morning, or Tuesday night, if you prefer. A little lefty leftist ear candy for the choir, and just me talking about stuff that I think is kind of important. Just to put another comment on the Trayvon thing, and then I'm going to leave it alone. I actually lost 2 Facebook friends over the verdict. Now, one of them I didn't know. I've got a couple of thousand because when I was doing the show, I was just adding everybody, and some are Democrats and some are trolls from the conservative side or teabaggers, but mostly liberals. And then, of course, a good contingent of radical lefty anarchist types, socialist commie types. But so I lost one. I didn't care because she was happy, and you know, Trayvon was a bad guy, and Zimmerman, you know, did us all a favor. I was like, oh wow, okay, you're gone. You can't reach those people. And the other one I lost, well, I blocked, was an actual friend of mine, a coworker, a DJ in the nightclub business about 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, we partied together and we chased girls together and drank Grand Marnier and together. And, but I just couldn't deal with him. He never grew up. He stayed in Texas, right? So he's there, but for the grace of God go I got out of Texas. Went to Chicago and Honolulu and LA and now in Reno. But he just one of those people that, you know, he was who he was at 22 and never progressed. And he's a teabagger. But I tolerated him because I thought maybe he might learn something by my posts. And he might read some of the things. He might listen to the show. But he was all happy about the Zimmerman outcome. And I don't feel bad. I don't know if you do. Maybe you do. Do you lose friends over politics? I was scolded by somebody because I posted on my Facebook page. I said, oh, I just lost another fucktard, you know, racist Nazi motherfucker. I posted that, and then, you know, most people like, yeah, right on. I do the same thing, right? You know, it shows you who they are. And then I got scolded by a friend who said, how can you, you know, build bridges if you're cutting them off? And honestly, I think we need to build bridges with our allies. There are, as I mentioned earlier in the show, there are left libertarians, anarcho-communists, anarcho-syndicalists. There are anarchists with no hyphen. There are, you know, there are liberals who, you know, have single issues, you know, immigration reform or whatever, marriage equality. But those people are reachable. And we're all, maybe we're not on the same page, right? We're not even maybe reading from the same book, but at least we're in the same fucking section of the library. But teabaggers and conservatives and poltards, they're not even in the building. They're like miles away in a basement. I don't know. They're just, so I didn't feel bad, but maybe you do. Maybe you think that that's wrong. I don't know. If you have an opinion on it, 213-816-0357. I realize it's up late with Pink of the Bear, so there's not a lot of live listeners, which gives me the opportunity to rant. But, you know, if you have an opinion on it, give a call. If you have an opinion on any of this stuff, give a call. If not, I'll just move on to the next thing. I played a song a couple of weeks ago. I played this song a couple of weeks ago. These are personal friends of mine. These are some of my, I can't say best friends, but these are people I see 3-4 days a week. And the band is called Merkin. If you don't know what a Merkin is, you can Google it, but I'll just tell you. It's a pubic hair wig. Did you know there was such a thing? Pubic hair wig? Oh, yeah. Yeah, 1700s. 1800s, and if you go to a prostitute and she had crabs, well, what they'd do is they'd shave all the hair off and remove all the crabs. And then the customers didn't like the bald thing, the racing stripe, the Brazilian. They didn't like that. And so the customers, you know, preferred, you know, a woman with hair. So they invented the pubic hair wig. And it's called a Merkin, and I have no idea why it's called a Merkin. And I have no idea why my friends chose the name Merkin, but they did. And they've had an album out. They're here in Reno. They opened up for PIL, Johnny Lydon, back in December. They played the Knitting Factory. They're very good, all original, all hard rock. But they've come out with a mellower song. And I think it goes to this whole Zimmerman thing, the Anthony Casey thing, the OJ Waco, the what was that woman, that young girl, Brianna or somebody who went missing down in one of the islands. But did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And what people get obsessed about is they want to talk about the tragedy. Oh, the Columbine shooting, the Sandy Hook shooting. Where are all those Sandy Hook conspiracy fucks right now? I don't see them posting much anymore. I guess it didn't get any traction because it wasn't true. But anyway, so he wrote this song called Snow Day. Did you hear about the slaughter? Man, you should have seen the place. Right? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to sound informed. We're going to sound cool. We're going to sound like we know what's going on. But the bottom line is we don't have to go to school today. Isn't that cool? Because some kids got shot on the East Coast, or some kids got shot in Colorado, or there was some tragedy somewhere. And so I really, really like this song. Dane DeLucchi wrote it, plays bass, sings it. Alon Burton, guitar, and Jeremy Morrow on drums. And these are my friends in Reno, and I'm just going to do a shameless plug because I think it fits in, and I just love this song. Hope you do too. Snow Day by Merkin on the Pink of the Day Bear Show.
Dark bird in outer space.
about it, man. Yeah, we don't have to go to school today. Yeah, let's go snowboarding, man. Let's go to the beach. Let's play video games. Let's get a 40. I don't know. I like it. And I'm proud to say I'm a fan of Merkin. Anyway, local boys here in Reno, and I hope they make it big. Their new EP is coming out. You can find them at Merkin Band. MerkinBand.com, also Merkin the Band or something on Facebook, and over at Reverbination. But good lyrics, good licks, good energy live. That's actually the slowest song I've ever heard them do. Usually it's just frantic and there's time changes and, you know, it's just, it's all over the place and it's just wild. But anyway, so this is a political talk show, right? What am I doing? I'm playing Merkin because, I don't know, I guess it goes into that whole thing about the way people gossip. They pretend to be informed because they watch the news, you know. They're watching Brian Williams or Katie Couric. No, she's gone. But I don't even watch it anymore. But, God, I walk through the house, and I'll tell you this right now. I live with my parents and my brother, and we're one big happy family, and stay out of each other's way and support each other and do all the good things, because my brother never had a family because, well, he's gay, and I never had a family because, well, I had too many options due to circumstances, and I just never kind of settled down. But hey, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? Call me, 213-816-0357. We'll talk about whatever. So I want to move on to something else. And like I said, there's not a lot of original content here, man. I'm just like reading other people's stuff and gleaning and thinking about things and trying to get other people to think about things so they can influence other people to think about things, so perhaps we can change things in this world and make things a little better. And one of the folks that I really enjoy, if you've been listening to the show for the past, I don't know, 8 weeks, is I enjoy Jeff Mincy, a socialist, and proud of it. And he had a status update last week, and I posted it over at the Pink of the Bear show, and maybe you've seen it, but I'm going to read it because, I don't know, that's kind of what I do. So when I beat the drums for socialism, I encounter not infrequently the current fashion to whitewash and dismiss all ideological isms. Ooh, we can't have no isms. All isms suck. Have you heard that before? I've heard it before. It's a stupid fucking argument. He says, the greatest proponents of this attitude typically think themselves above it all. Well, I can't think about isms. I'm above isms. And they want to believe, they want to be seen. They want to be seen as some sagely and original person when, in fact, they're only leaping from one bandwagon to another, all for fear of standing up and being counted. But is it an ism to throw off one's chains? Is it an ism to claim moral ownership of one's own labor? Is it an ism for a people to share fairly and equally in the bounty of the world's resources? See, socialism is neither a static dogma nor an end for which we strive. You got that? Socialism is neither a static dogma nor an end for which we strive. Rather, it is a dynamic expression of a people liberated from wage servitude and from the oppressive stratification of social classes. It is an affirmation of justice. It's an affirmation of equality, an affirmation of liberty, and an affirmation of the common good. It is the means to the end of our living together in peaceful, cooperative, sustainable communities. Socialism. So when you reject all new isms, or old ones for that matter, when you reject all isms, and in effect, you reject all of this. Indeed, when you reject all new isms, in effect, you only accept the most oppressive and the most destructive ism of them all. The one that is now in place, the one that we live under, the one which serves the established order, the one we know by name. And that name, folks, that name is capitalism. So don't get your panties in a wad and say, oh, ism this, ism that, I'm above isms. No, Jeff is exactly right. Jeff is exactly right. Some isms are better than other isms. Excuse me. And when you reject all isms, well, I reject all these isms, ism this, ism that, you know what you're doing? You're basically giving up. You're throwing your hands up in the air, and you just say, well, you know, I can't do anything, and you accept the worst fucking ism ever, which is capitalism. Okay, maybe feudalism was worse. I don't know. I used to think feudalism was worse, but now I think maybe capitalism is. Capitalism seems to be the better system. I don't know. It's the best system since feudalism, but we can do better. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It's the Pink of the Bear Show. I'll be back in like 3 minutes after Woody talks to you.
I sometimes feel like an alien creature for which there is no earthly explanation. Sure, I have human form, walking erect with opposing digits, but my mind is upside down. I feel like a run-on sentence in a punctuation-crazy world, and I see the world around me like a mad collective dream. An endless stream of people move like ants on the freeway, cell phones, PCs, and digital displays. In money we trust, we'll find happiness, the prevailing attitude. Like a genetically modified irradiated Big Mac is somehow symbolic of food. Morality is legislated, prisons overpopulated, religion is incorporated, the profit motive has permeated all activity. We pay our government to let us park on the street. And war is the biggest money maker of all. We all know missile envy only comes from being small. Politicians and prostitutes are comfortable together. I wonder if they talk about the strange change in the weather. This government was founded by, of, and for the people. But everybody feels it like a giant open sore. They don't represent us anymore. And blaming the president for the country's woes is like yelling at a puppet for the way it sings. Who's the man behind the curtain pulling the strings? A billion people sitting watching their TV in the room that they call living. But as for me, I see living as loving. And since there is no loving room, I sit on the grass under a tree, dreaming of the way things used to be, pre-industrial revolution. Which, of course, is before the rivers and oceans and skies were polluted, before Parkinson's and mad cows and all the convoluted cacophony of bad ideas like skyscrapers and tree paper and earth rapers like Monsanto and DuPont had their way, as they continue to today. This was pre-us. Back when the buffalo roamed and the Indian's home was the forest and God was nature and heaven was here and now. Can you imagine clean water, food, and air, living in community with animals and people who care? Do you dare to feel responsible for every dollar you lay down? Are you going to make the rich man richer or are you going to stand your ground? You say you want a revolution, a communal evolution, to be a part of the solution? Maybe I'll be seeing you around.
Maybe you will, Woody. I did meet some Woody Harrelson. I do. Maybe I'll be seeing him around. I don't know. Maybe I will. You know, I love poetry. I do. And, you know, poets always write, you know, not always, but, you know, poets write about the heart. They write about friendships. Loves. They write about love. They write about romance. They write about courtship. And the excitement and the love and the wonder of it all. But they don't write about marriage licenses. They don't write about the clergy. They don't write about judicial court. Yeah, something to think about. It is the Pinko the Bear Show. The phone lines are open. And I've said it like 5 times and none of you comrades have called in. 213, I almost used the F word just gratuitously. 213-816-0357. I was going to get to a Daniel Ellsberg piece about Snowden. I'm not even sure I want to do that right now. But I'd rather have a phone call. I'd rather talk than with someone rather than just talk to you. But, man, I can do both. So I want to share this, too. Lee Burkett, one of my Facebook friends from a couple of years, longtime activist. He's got like 15 years on me. I'm in my early 50s. And he's been in the trenches and doing shit his whole life. And I love this. Anyone who's still posting petitions that begin, you know, you've seen these petitions. They say, tell the president or tell Congress. Anyone who's still posting petitions like that on Facebook or anywhere else might as well be posting prayers that begin with, oh, mighty and infinite, hear the plea of one unworthy. Hey, anyone who still urges Congress to, you know, anyone who still urges us to get out the vote, right, or to tell Nancy Pelosi this or tell John Boehner that, Agent Orange, motherfucker, anyone who's still doing this on Facebook might as well, I don't know, be calling up for the sacrifices of virgins or some shit. The world has moved on, man. The belief structure has not kept up, and you are praying to old gods. You have no prayer. Ain't nobody listening. Tell Congress. Tell Obama. Tell Bush. No, they're not listening. They don't work for you. They don't work for me. They work for Monsanto. They work for the Koch brothers. They work for BP. They work for McDonnell Douglas. Just look at my Facebook page. There is a picture of a tank with all the goddamn corporations that run the fucking world. They have bumper stickers on the tank. The Pinko the Bear Show tank. The corporate tank. That's who they work for. They don't work for you. They don't care about your petition. Tell Congress. You might as well just, like, pray. Pray to Zeus. Pray to Jesus. Pray to Allah. It doesn't matter. You know what happens? You know what happened? If we got, what, 7 billion people in the world? If we got 7 billion people all together saying the same prayer, all of them, we want world peace, no more war. If we got all 7 billion together praying at the same time, the connection between all those people, all that energy, all that emotion, guess what? Nothing would change. Zero. Zip. Nada. Nothing. How many millions of children die every year from starvation because they're too poor under the capitalist system to eat? If we all got together and prayed at the same time, oh Lord Almighty, if we all prayed to the same God, if we all prayed to all the gods, it doesn't matter, the same number of people would die. And that's the same fucking thing that happens when you sign a petition. Tell John Boehner, tell, no, He doesn't work for you. He doesn't work for you. He doesn't work for me. He doesn't work for us. We don't have that kind of cash. We simply don't. So I'm sick of seeing those. I don't berate anybody when they do that on Facebook. I just don't even engage them anymore, and I certainly don't click like. I might put a big poop, you know, the big pile of turds. You can do that on Facebook. You go semicolon, P-O-O-P, semicolon, and it creates a pile of poop. I've done that a couple of times. Republicans are red. Democrats are blue. Fuck the system. Neither one of them gives a fuck about you. God, there's a lot of F-bombs tonight. And I really have not been drinking that much. I had maybe 4 or 5 beers. But maybe I'm just extra agitated tonight. I don't know. I need to go see a good band. Maybe Serotonin and the Dopamines or something like that. Maybe they'll be playing at Burning Man. Oh, by the way, in 2 more weeks, there will be no more Pink of the Bear show for about 6 weeks. Not that I got a second job, not that I'm going to, you know, I'm going on vacation. I work so I can play. So I can, you know, feed myself. And I'm heading out to Burning Man again. It's only 192 miles from my house, but instead of going out for 2 weeks, it's a week-long festival, right? It's a week-long. But instead of going out for 2 weeks, like I normally do, a few days before, a few days after, just really savor it, love it, love it, love it. I somehow managed to volunteer myself to go out a month early. And then the event, which is 5 weeks, so I'll be out there five and a half weeks. 120 degrees during the day, 38 at night. It's a fucking desert. And you might have to be slightly insane to do it, but all the cool people go. All the insane, fun people go. Tons of lefty leftists, even though they may say, I'm not political. You know what? They act like anarchists. They act like socialists. You get out there and you find out, oh, they self-organize. You get out there and you find out there's not a hierarchy and a bunch of fucking rules. You get out there and you find out, oh, you find somebody who's tripping balls and really just needs like a couch and some water and you give it to them. Or maybe they need a foot rub. Or maybe they need sex. Whatever it is, you give it to them. Food. And the art. Oh, the art is off the hook. If you haven't been to Burning Man, you can still go. If you don't know what it is, yeah, YouTube. YouTube is your friend. It's insane. It's insanity. It's, but, you know, like John Lennon, the world is run by insane people for insane purposes, by maniacal people for maniacal ends. No, this is insane people just enjoying the insanity. There are no rules. Well, federal law does apply. State law does apply, but, you know, you can get away with stuff out there. I'm just saying. So anyway, I'll be gone for to help build the city as a volunteer and then to enjoy my burn and then probably a week afterwards to decompress. And so the Pink of the Bear show will be, it'll be out for, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks or so. So that's just a program note. I like this so much. Republicans are red, Democrats are blue. Fuck the system. Neither one of them works for you. And I, for those who just joined us, I just want to mention one more time the commonsprojectnetwork.com. All one word, the commonsprojectnetwork.com. It's an aggregator hub for all lefty leftist type stuff. We've got about 5-6 shows up regularly posting, and we're inviting more. And I would invite you not only to check it out, but also to share it with your networks, because my network isn't yours. Like, my Facebook social media is not yours. So if you like the show or if you like the network, share it and get more people involved. And all the shows, well, they don't all rant and drink PBR like I do, but everybody has their points and everybody, you know, is doing their thing. And I think it's important to have a bunch of different voices out there. So, oh, here's a voice, Jeff Mincy again. I love this because I never used to think about this before, but socialism ruthlessly deprives philanthropists of ego gratification. Socialist ruthlessly deprives philanthropists of ego gratification. I never thought about it that way. I guess that's why I like Jeff, because he thinks about stuff and writes it down and puts it out. But it's true. I mean, you hear people, well, you know, we should, you know, people can give money if they want. People can help out if they want. They can feed the homeless if they want. They can start foundations. Bill Gates got all this money, got the Bill Gates Foundation, going to spend all this money helping people out. Well, that motherfucker stole all that money. Billions and billions and billions through his capitalist system being coddled by the government. And now everybody's all happy because he's giving some of it back. Well, guess what? You know, you give me $4 billion, I'll be happy to give $600 million back. So some black kids in Africa can have some clean water or get through fourth grade or whatever. I don't buy this whole philanthropy thing. I don't, these do-gooders. Oh, look what we're doing for the children. Look what we're doing for the community. Yeah, where'd you get all that money? Oh, yeah, you stole it from workers. You stole it from the working class, the working man, the working woman, the working child. You stole it. Because you didn't pay the man, woman, or child the full value of what he or she produced. So I'm just not a big fan. I mean, yeah, it's cool that some money goes back, but don't just think about that. The money, if you got $2 billion or $4 billion or $600 million, you're a criminal. You stole it from somebody. Oh, maybe not legally, right? Like, legally, yeah, I paid him $10 an hour to make a widget, and I sold the widget for $900, and I made, you know, $800. Okay, fine. And legally, you didn't steal it. But in reality, morally, yeah, you did, because you're a capitalist. So anyway, socialism ruthlessly deprives the philanthropist of his ego gratification. And I think that's exactly right. I'm going to take another break. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. It's the Pink of the Bear Show. You're up late, and this is Why Am I an Anarchist? A show favorite here in the second hour of the Pink of the Bear Show. Stick around. 213-816-0357 if you'd like to chat. I don't like that much.
Politicians steal. protest, and no one listens, because 20 minutes of sunshine can now kill, because rent is no longer affordable, because...
I love that song. I love that song. I don't know. I was gonna bring you this article by Brad Friedman, and he's kind of a, you know, liberal Democrat political talker kind of guy, columnist. He's always on about, you know, voter suppression and, you know, not voter fraud, because that doesn't really happen, but voter suppression by the GOP. And he's kind of a partisan hack. But he did an interview with Daniel Ellsberg. And, well, you know what? I said I was going to do it with the intention of saying I'm not going to talk about it, but maybe I will just for a moment. But I was going to read the whole thing and comment it, and it's a long deal. But let me just give you the nuts and bolts. And I'm not a huge fan of Brad Blog. It's called The Brad Blog, Brad Friedman, because he's kind of a sycophant for the liberals. But he did this interview with, you know, the original whistleblower, Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers to the New York Times. And he was being brought up on charges of treason. And then, of course, the Nixon administration overreached, you know, doing all kind of illegal shit. They bugged his, or they broke into his psychiatrist's office to find some dirt on him. And so, you know, the whole case went away because the government overreached. And so Ellsberg was talking about Snowden. And basically, I mean, he said it exactly right. He said, look, back 40 years ago when I did that, I felt relatively safe. I got released on my own recognizance. I didn't even say that right. Recognizance. It's do-it-yourself radio. Shit happens. But anyway, he got released. He didn't have like a $4 million bond. He didn't go to Gitmo. He didn't get extraordinarily rendered, or he didn't even get rendered. He was like, yeah, okay, you know, we got laws and stuff is going on, and I broke the law and I leaked this stuff, but I got a trial coming up, and in the meantime, I'm going to talk to the media and tell my story, and I don't fear being disappeared. But that was 40 years ago. But when you look at what Snowden did, I mean, Snowden is a bona fide whistleblower telling the truth about the government doing illegal things. I mean, he's a whistleblower. But Snowden couldn't possibly do what Ellsberg did, because he would be disappeared. He would be rendered. He would be sent to Guantanamo or Bagram or some other place, and we would never hear from him. He would never get his story out because there'd be some fucking gag order or whatever. It wouldn't happen, because all the stuff that Ellsberg did, even though he did it, it was illegal, he still had the right until he was, you know, convicted to be a free man and speak. And that doesn't happen in this country anymore. That's the difference in 40 years. Ellsberg's in his mid-80s. He's the Howard Zinn Noam Chomsky generation. In fact, hey, they worked with him printing out papers, the Pentagon papers, copies and copies, back when you had to do Xerox one page at a time. And now, so here comes Snowden, and so he takes off and goes to Hong Kong, but now he can still give interviews. He can still get the message out. He can still tell everybody what's going on. But that's the difference in 40 years. I'm 51, and I was a kid when the Pentagon Papers came out. I was in grade school. I knew the war was fucked up. I knew that. Well, I listened to rock and roll, so I got it. I listened to my, you know, my friends' older brothers and sisters, and I saw, you know, that some of them didn't come back from Vietnam, and I was like, well, this is fucked up, right? I understood as a kid. I heard, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Somebody get the gun. Remember that song? Love it. But I heard all that stuff as a kid. It was very Marvin Gaye, Bob Dylan, and I got it. But now we have corporate media, corporate programming for radio stations. We don't hear any. We don't hear Tom Morello on the pop station today. We don't hear The Coup on the pop station today. We don't hear. Immortal Technique, Lupe Fiasco. We don't hear any of that. We should be hearing it, but no. They understood. They learned some lessons from the 60s. They went, you can't have too much democracy. Let's just control the airwaves. We'll give them some Justin Bieber and some, Tech N9ne or Mac 10 or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, I know. I'm not a rapper. I'm not a big fan. But anyway, my point is the world has changed, and Snowden can't do what Ellsberg did, so he was right in cruising. And here's a quote from Ellsberg. I think the current climate is such that if Snowden were in the country, we would have no more chance to hear from him than you or I or anybody has had to hear from Bradley Manning. He'd be in jail. He might be in the same cell in Quantico at best as Bradley Manning was for 10 and a half freaking months in isolation. Or he might be in Guantanamo. He could not be out on bond as I was 40 years ago. And I was able to speak very freely in this country, out on bond during my trial. And to speak not so much about my case as to the war. And to put my message out about the nature of the war and why it should be ended. So whistleblowers have no safe haven in this country anymore. Ellsberg was probably the last big one. And there's no question in Ellsberg's mind that Snowden is a whistleblower in the best complete sense. And he left the country, and he did it for a good reason. And these assholes on TV who question why he went and talk about his girlfriend and talk about him, really? Seriously. So the country was very different than it was 40 years ago when Ellsberg was being able to speak. I mean, they were going after him. They were trying to do all sorts of things. They were going to, incapacitate him totally. That was the quote. Incapacitate him totally at the orders of the White House. In other words, assault him, kill him, those things were illegal back then. But now the Obama administration, decided that it's legal now and he can just kill whoever he wants. So when you don't hear from me for 5 weeks or 6 weeks, it's not because I've been killed. It's because I went to Burning Man and got high and enjoyed art. And made art, and made love in the dust. I have an interesting personal situation developing. No, I'm not going to go there. God, I'd love to tell you. But anyway, yeah, we're not going to go there. But I'm sure the story will come out sooner or later. Maybe not on the Pink of the Bear show. Maybe just on my personal page. Women. Anyway. So, yeah. So, Obama's not going to get impeached. Obama's not going to get run out of office like Nixon does or did. Snowden is not going to be not pursued like Ellsberg was not pursued after Nixon got caught breaking in or having people break in, the plumbers breaking in, breaking into the psychiatrist's office. I used to know that psychiatrist's name. I can't recall it anymore. So, yeah, we had 9/11. We got the Patriot Act. We got the PRISM. We've got, just this ridiculous surveillance state, this 1984 Orwellian bullshit going on. And so people like Ellsberg, in his generation, he could do it, but not Snowden. So Snowden did the right thing. Absolutely did the right thing. Because you can't take any comfort in the protections that are supposedly afforded you by the U.S. Constitution at this point. I mean, really, there are no protections. If anybody who's had their eyes open understands. So, you want to avoid that. You just want to avoid that. You can leave the country. Go somewhere that you can be protected and then still get your story out. I mean, Snowden's contribution to the noble cause of restoring the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments of the Constitution. Yeah, well, that was very noble, and we hope that it works, but we're not sure. But people don't seem to be too upset about it. There was a MSNBC poll with Ed Schultz, if I can believe the internet meme, saying 76% of MSNBC viewers. No, 78% of MSNBC, supposedly liberal, viewers thought it was okay. It was okay to go after the whistleblowers as a traitor or to blow up children that you think are bad guys and hate America. I can't remember exactly what it is, but basically it said 78% of MSNBC viewers are mentally challenged. Handicapped, retarded, fucktards, just stupid, just brainwashed, just, what's the word? Oh, lobotomized, hypnotized, mesmerized, propagandized. And they're like on board with the administration's policies. Another good reason not to watch Ed Schultz on MSNBC or any corporate TV whatsoever. Anyway, you can read the whole article. Well, you can read the whole article over at thegranvillepost.com, G-R-E-A-N, granvillepost.com. Patrice Granville is the editor. He's a friend of mine. He's wonderful. He's an 80-year-old social justice activist kind of guy, and it's an excellent aggregator of all things, pinko commie, socialists, etc. TheGranvillePost.com. Brad Friedman is the author of the piece, Ellsberg, Snowden Was Right to Flee the United States. So props to Brad, who's normally kind of a liberal, I'm glad he had this interview with him. Just at the end, it says Ellsberg says, what he has given us is our best chance, folks, our best chance. If Snowden has given us our best chance, if we respond to his information and his challenge to rescue ourselves from out of control surveillance that shifts all practical power to the executive branch and its intelligence agencies, a united Stasi of America. Yeah, I think you should get over there and read the whole thing. And just in general, read thegranvillepost.com. It's good stuff, baby. It's good stuff, baby. All right. We got 15 minutes to go. I need to take a break, smoke a cigarette, open a new Pat's Blue Ribbon, and sing a song.
Through the best of times, through the worst of times.
Barbara's like, oh, who is this? I can't listen to this music for 15 minutes. Oh, it sounds like drunks in a pub. Well, it sounds like anarchists to me, man. It sounds like people that are talking the truth. You fought for Stalin. I fought for his freedom. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbuck window, you left me all alone, all alone. I won't take your hand and marry the state. I just won't. So anyway, it is the Pink of the Bear show. We're in the last, I don't know, 8 minutes or so. And I got a call from 803, Mr. Hood, are you there? Can you hear?
Yes, sir, man.
Sir, do you see anything on this uniform that would indicate the standing of an officer?
Yes, sir.
So are you a first-time listener? I've never seen you in the chat room before.
Well, this is my first time on your show.
So what's on your mind, man?
America, man. When's America going to ever wake up? What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing, right?
Yeah.
And is it the government or is it the people that are asleep?
Well, it's the government and it's the people asleep, then it's the shadow government.
Right?
You know?
And who is the shadow government?
Well, Well, that's a good question. Who is the shadow government, you know?
Right, there's a lot of people that will tell you the shadow government is some, like, shadowy group of people that meet at the Bilderberg or, you know, the Bohemian Grove, and they got the Agenda 21 and all this shit at the UN. No, the shadow government is what it's always been in America. The shadow government is simply the billionaires, or as I like to refer to them, the billionaires and killionaires of the planet, most of which are in the United States and Europe, and you know some in the UK and Canada and the other allies. But they're the very, very wealthiest people in the world, maybe the top, I don't know, pick a number, 1,000, 1,200 people in the world that really call all the shots. They call the trade agreements. They call the economic policies. They call the economic system capitalism, and they exploit the workers, and they fuck everybody over. And if you don't have money for food or heating oil or whatever, you just go without and you die. And that's the shadow government. Big business is the shadow cast over government. I can't remember the guy's name, but very famous quote. Somebody in the chat room can figure it out. But yeah, that's the shadow government, is the money. And it's not a millionaire or a 5 millionaire. It's a 300 millionaire that supports a 4 billionaire or a 20 billionaire or a 90 billionaire. It's the billionaires and the killionaires that run shit. And then the 100 millionaires, deca millionaires like Mitt Romney, that support the system.
Well, if you look at the Rothschilds is almost like $50 trillion.
I don't know if it's 50 trillion, but I don't even think the Catholic Church is 50 trillion. But yeah, I get your point. Yeah, it's the Rothschilds and it's the Koch brothers and it's the
Collins family, DuPont.
I don't know the Collins family, but I believe you. There are people that the Walton family. I mean, one of the Walton heirs herself is $24 million. She's got or $24 billion. She's got more money than like 140 million people combined in this country. I mean, it's sick. And these are the people that are calling the policies and making the wars and the trade agreements and exporting jobs.
Yeah,
and,
we're
and
a corporation now. Right? That's saying like we're a corporation now.
Yeah. I mean, the country is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the corporations.
If you look at our birth certificate is worth $250,000.
I can't go there at all. It's nonsense, brother. No, I covered nonsense. That. I looked into that and covered that years ago. That is some serious misinformation nonsense. But I understand its popularity. And maybe one day you'll read through it and get it, but we don't have time to get into it now. But man, that whole thing about capital letters on your birth certificate and all that, and no, Admiralty Law and all that's great radio.
So you
want
to listen to Jordan Maxwell?
Well, listen, that's great entertainment radio. Like you go on Blog Talk and you hear some guys, you go Alex Jones, InfoWars, you go on my point is that stuff permeates all the underground alternative radio. That is entertainment. That's Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, that's David Icke, reptilians, people from outer space controlling shit. That's all just entertainment. And they make a lot of money, and people listen to it, and they kind of, after a while, they start thinking that it's real, and then they start like repeating it. But I promise you, brother, I promise you, it's charlatan snake oil stuff, man. It will not cure what ails you.
I was with witchcraft and all that. Like, I mean, there's a higher cultist. Yeah. There's a lot of cultists in America.
Yeah,
that's
well,
you got the Collins family. Collins family had like. They got to have 13 councils in almost every state in America.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak to that, but I did a whole show. If you look in the archives about 6 weeks ago, go to the commonsprojectnetwork.com or just on Here Be Monsters, the Pink of the Bear show once a week, you'll find I did an entire show on conspiracy theories and why they are hurting America and why they're hurting, people in general. And just we're running out of time. So let me just say this, that stuff that you're talking about is just, it's just myth. It's just junk. And what it does, it keeps you distracted and keeps you interested.
About witchcraft?
All that kind of stuff.
Oh, no, it's not
theories,
myth, because I'm in it.
Yeah.
I'm in
so
it.
All of that stuff, I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time and I got to go. But all of that stuff keeps you from focusing on what's really important. What's really important, my friends, is to get active, to get involved, like tag your it, get out into the streets, find your allies, join a revolutionary group, join a anti-capitalist collective, get out and protest, get out, you know, for social justice, but get in the streets and put pressure on the politicians to do the right thing instead of doing what the billionaires and the trillionaires of the world want you to do. And that stuff is just distraction. It's no better than you know, wrestling or soap operas. Or, it's just nonsense, in my opinion. And I'm sorry I had to cut you off, but I got to go. I got 3 minutes left, and I got a 2 minute and 21 second song to take us out of here. It is Pinko the Bear Show every Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Let's call it Wednesday morning, midnight, terrific Pacific time, here at Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio. Also, over at thecommonsprojectnetwork.com, a bunch of good lefty leftist shows over there. Air Amarta Theo, there's AWOP Radio with Kim, there's Pinko the Bear Show, there's Here Be Monsters, there's Authority Smashing Hour. We just added Dennis Traynor Jr.'s acronym, because you stand for something, and we added Lee Camp, Moments of Clarity. And it's a hub. It's a place where you can go and just like pick up different shows and find the ones you like. And it's all good information. No Bigfoots, no UFOs, no Bilderbergers, no conspiracy theories other than actual conspiracies that happen, like rich people fucking poor people. I'm just saying. That's the scoop. Love you. Love you all. I gotta go.
Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Ha ha! Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masses. Arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction. On tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the forge must do their duty. And we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. Ha! And the last fight, let us face. The international the whole darn human race.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Tony Bambino. Tony Bambino. He'll be here all week. Please, please try the veal. Love you all. Gotta go. See you next week. Midnight. Terrific Pacific time, Wednesday morning, or late Tuesday night, depending on where you are. All right, I'm out of here. I got stuff to do. Good night.